Hi, we had some problems with this morning recording the sermon and the reading. So the reading was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the sermon was recorded on a mobile phone. So it's not our normal standard. Hope you understand this. Thank you.
The theme this morning is certainties and uncertainties. So it means paying attention. Who can we always be certain of?
Jesus is
Lord. Certainties and uncertainties. A colleague of mine on Thursday said to me, "What are you doing at the weekend?" And I said, "Well, I'm preaching on Sunday, so I'll probably spend most of the time getting ready." And she said, "Oh, what are you preaching on?" And I said, "The man of lawlessness." And she said, "Who's he?" And I said, "I'm not really sure. I've got to do some research." Well, I've done the research, and I have to tell you, I'm still not really sure. Have you ever wondered why there are so many uncertainties in the Word of God? Because there are. There are a lot of... Is that not... Can you not hear me? Shall I start all over again? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Do I need this? Can I take it off?
Take it off.
Take it off.
They're shaking their... Is that all right? Can I take it off? Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You're ever so quiet.
Thank you. Have you ever wondered why there are so many uncertainties in the Word of God? And I've been thinking about this. And I do really feel that surely the uncertainties, and there are a lot of them, the uncertainties in the Word of God are there to draw us to the certainties that are in the Word of God. Because you see, uncertainties will always lead to fear, but certainties will strengthen our faith. So it seems to me, this is a rule that I've just made up, but it seems to me that it's a good rule to focus on the certainties and not on the uncertainties of the Word of God. Now, Paul, Tracy told us last week, wrote this second letter to the Thessalonians because of confusion that had arisen from his first letter. And the actual subject of the confusion was about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And I just want to read to you the exact bit that there was confusion over. So it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's starting at verse 14. This is what was causing the confusion. He says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring Jesus with those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Is there anything that is not clear about what I've just read? Paul is absolutely explicit. He uses clear language. And he is giving very explicit detail about what is actually going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. And clearly, at that time, none of these things have happened. Because they have not happened now. And yet, there were people who were saying that the Lord had already returned. There are people who are still saying that now. Paul is not being fanciful. He's not giving some illustration. He is giving clear teaching. He is giving us the grounds of our eternal home. So why is it that the Thessalonians, in our section, Paul says that he's writing them because he doesn't want them to be alarmed or unsettled. And yet they were. And today, Christians are alarmed and unsettled and in fear and unsure. But what Paul has written there, that I just read out, is absolutely certain. We can be absolutely sure of it. So why the uncertainty? The problem with human nature is that instead of focusing on the certainty, the Thessalonians, and I believe many Christians today, go on to focus on what Paul says in the beginning of chapter 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There is an uncertainty. And surely Paul wrote that uncertainty hoping that it would draw his readers to that which he'd written about the certainty. See, do you see? We need to focus on that which is certain, not that which is uncertain. Because it is the certainties that will strengthen our faith. So, when we look at the second chapter that we're looking at, where Paul writes about this man of lawlessness, we need to apply the same rule. We need to look at that which we can be certain of and that which is uncertain. And Paul wrote this letter to give them some more certainty. And it appears that to do this, he's telling them about things that he taught them when he was previously with them. And they would have been reassured by what he says. If you read verses 5 and 6, he says, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you about these things? And now you know what is holding him back." But the trouble is, we don't, do we? We don't know. We're not told. It's not being revealed to us. They knew. We don't know. So what was a certainty for them is an uncertainty for us. But let's not dwell on that uncertainty, because that will lead to us being unsettled and troubled. No, we need to focus on the certainty. And from what Paul says here, we can be absolutely certain that evil and the secret powers of evil is going to develop in the world. And it's going to culminate in an awful climax of evil. And again, he gives us a lot of detail. He's giving us explicit teaching. He's talking about an individual personality. Somebody who's going to exalt himself above everything that calls itself God. He's going to exalt himself not just above the Christian faith, but every other religion and philosophy and atheism. This is something that is going to be worldwide. We've seen in world history precursors to it. We've seen where empires have become evil, or evil has broken out in the world. We've seen it in our own lifetimes, haven't we? So we know that evil is at work, but here, Paul is talking about an evil that is going to be the climax of all evils. He's talking about a person and an event that is going to be worldwide. And we know that none of this has happened. But we're given a certainty. We're given explicit teaching. He's not being all spiritual and giving us some sort of illustration. This is going to happen. And that's something that we need to focus on. And we focus on this, and there are other passages in the Bible which we focus on, and they make us tremble, don't they? And they make us fear. But actually, there is a healthy sort of fear, isn't there? There's a right sort of fear. That's why we tell our children not to run out into the road. Don't go too close to the edge. Don't put your finger in the electric socket. It's a healthy fear that we want to instill in them. And if we read explicit teaching in the Bible that makes us tremble, then if we've got any wisdom at all, then we will fear. But that fear will lead us in the right direction. It will lead us to strengthening of our faith. So what are we going to do in the face of such a teaching? Where are we going to turn? Where are we going to turn? What is the answer? The answer is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And if you look at verse 8, here he gives us a certainty that we really need to focus on. He says, and then the Lord's one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendour of his coming. There's a certainty, isn't it? There is a certainty. There is a proof that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that this awfully powerful worldwide evil is a mere inconsequence, a mere nothing. Because there is no conflict mentioned here, nothing. This evil power is just going to go away, dissolve at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about this word of God, this truth, the one thing that it will tell us time and time again is that we can be absolutely certain about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he will do in the future. We can be absolutely certain that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin. We can be absolutely certain that he lived a sinless life, that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that he died on the cross and paid the price for the sins of the world. And we can be absolutely certain, because we're told time and time again, that when he had suffered, he gave up his life, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And we can be absolutely certain that if we put our faith in that man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we acknowledge that he took our place on the cross, and we repent of our sins and turn to him as our only Saviour, that we can be absolutely certain that just as he rose from the dead, so shall we. It's a certainty. It's in here. Not just once, not just twice, but time and time again. But we need to understand it and keep understanding it and reassuring ourselves, not looking at uncertainties, not being troubled and driven this way and that way, but focusing on what we can be certain of. And we can be certain, as I read in 1 Thessalonians 4, that Jesus Christ the Lord will return in glory exactly in the way that Paul described. And read verse 14. Verse 14 says, he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the Christian's hope. If you don't believe that, what are you going to believe in? This is the glory of the Christian gospel. Eternal life. Heaven, not hell. Heaven forever and ever. But we focus on the uncertainties. And we think, oh, is it true? Is it really true? Yes! How many times does God have to tell us? It's true. We just need to believe it. Because it's precious. It's precious. These promises are so precious that we need to do everything that we can to make sure that we focus on them and we're sure of them. And one of the reasons is that as Paul goes on in verses 9 to 12, he gives us another certainty which makes us shudder, an awful certainty. He says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So we can be certain, and I'm pretty sure we are certain here, that Satan is the source of all lies and untruth and deceit and vileness and nastiness. And he's going to go to an everlasting destruction, as Paul has said here and it says elsewhere. But we're also told that those who are deceived by him, that those who choose to follow him, will suffer the same fate as he does. It's made very, very clear. There can be no doubt about it whatsoever. The people of the world who mock Christianity and who mock Christians, who have no fear of the Lord, have no fear of the coming of the Lord. And yet they are at the mercy of all the uncertainties of life, aren't they? They're uncertain about their immediate future. They're uncertain about the near future. They're uncertain about the distant future. They're like those that Paul talks about in Ephesians 2. They're without hope and without God in the world. They live their lives with their fingers crossed, with one eye over their shoulders, living their lives to forget the inevitable. And their hopes are based on absolutely nothing. And the tragedy is, it's their choice. They choose that path. It's not God's choice. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. It's their choice. God just leaves them to what they desire. It's not God's choice for them. It's their choice. It's their choice. Because they delight in wickedness. And it's these people that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's people whom you and I know. It's people whom we love. That he's talking about here when he says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Well, that's awful. That is awful. And if we understand and are convinced that these things are certain, will it not cause us to pray? Will it not cause us to bear witness to what we believe? But you see, we have to be sure and secure and certain in our own position if we're going to pray effectively and if we're going to witness effectively. And if we're going to stand firm, as Paul told the Thessalonians, to stand firm. And why did he tell them to stand firm? What reasons does he give? And he gives a number of lovely reasons, starting with verse 13. And the first and most beautiful reason is, you're loved by the Lord. You're loved by the Lord. And because the Lord loves you, he's given you his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, who sanctifies you and works in you to do what is right, to do the works of the Lord. It's the Spirit in the Christian. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. It's beautiful. And he chose you from the beginning to be saved. If God chose you, then you can be absolutely sure that you're safe, eternally safe. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Therefore, it's not up to you to keep saved. It's Jesus got a hold of you. Like Harry, he couldn't break that bit of spaghetti, could he? That's our strength. Jesus, he's got a hold of us. He's chosen us. Be certain about these things. And how do you know? And it's right to ask, how do I know? How do I know it's true? You know by the witness of the Spirit within you. You know what it is to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, no matter what the troubles or the problems. You know that he's leading you, guiding you, thrilling you in a word. Thrilling you. You want to know more. You want to know him. You want to know Jesus. Not about teaching. The teaching will draw you to the person. And the person is Jesus Christ the Lord. And it comes through believing the gospel. That's what you've come to believe the truth through our gospel, through the gospel, the truth, the word of God. That's why we have to keep on looking at the gospel, concentrating on that which we are absolutely certain of. So go on believing. Go on believing in the certainties that are presented to you in the word of God. Hold on to the teachings, because they will help you to hold on to Jesus. You know, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's true, isn't it? If we read these things that are certainties, and they will cause us to fear, and if we've got any wisdom at all, we'll run in the right direction. We'll run to the Lord. But you know, there's a greater reason to run to the Lord, and that's because He loves us. And how do we know He loves us? Because of the cross. What else can He do? The cross proves His love for us. But our love, our human love, is so up and down, isn't it? So dependent on our circumstances and our emotions. That is why it is so important that we come to the Lord and hold on to the Lord in faith. We believe it. And the only way that we'll really believe it is by focusing on the certainties. Because it's the certainties that will strengthen our faith. I just want to finish by reading a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure of what we hope for. Certain of what we do not see. And then a little further down, the writer to the Hebrews in verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What is the Christian's reward? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And if you go to the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, you will see there, verse 12, that it's Jesus Himself who says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus always answers.